Element, Ed Bosman, Lynchburg, Ohio, and the God Is Just a Prayer Away radio broadcast. It is written, all the churches of Christ salute you. It is written, I thank my God always concerning you, for the grace of God which was given you in Christ Jesus. It is written, God is faithful, through whom ye were called, into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. It is written, Now I beseech you, brethren, through the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye may be perfected together, in the same mind, and in the same judgment.
For God is just a prayer away.
Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ, through the will of God, and Sosthenes our brother, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, even them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that call upon the name of our Lord Jesus Christ in every place, their Lord and ours. Grace to you, and peace from God our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. There are some who could say, the rocks can rend, the earth can quake, the seas can roar, the mountains shake. Of feelings all things show some sign, but this unfeeling heart of mine. To hear the sorrows thou hast felt, dear Lord, an adamant would melt. But I can read each moving line, and nothing moves this heart of mine. Thy judgments too, unmoved I hear. Amazing thought, which demons fear. Goodness and wrath in vain combined to stir this stupid heart of mine. The Lord Jesus Christ, from 1 Corinthians chapter 1. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, in the first 10 verses of the first chapter of 1 Corinthians, Paul mentions the name of Jesus Christ 10 times. 10 times in 10 verses. Since he mentions Jesus 10 times in 10 verses, it seems that he is holding forth Jesus in a special way to the Corinthian church. When Paul wrote to the church at Corinth, he was writing to a church that was full of problems. First of all, he would deal with the problem of division and denominationalism. Most of the churches that claim they are not a denomination are in fact more denominational than those they accuse of being denominational. And certainly that is a great problem today. For this problem, Paul holds forth the name of Jesus. Not only that, but he would deal with the problem of immorality. They had a situation there where it seems a man was having an affair with his stepmother. Such a thing as that would fit in with the Hollywood script of today and the television. They had that problem there, the problem of immorality, and for this situation, only the name of Jesus is the answer. Then Paul would deal with the problem of the Lord's Supper. There were some that were taking the Lord's Supper and making it a drunken feast. And the Lord's Supper is a problem today. Not for the same reason, but for various other reasons. To some, the Lord's Supper has been relegated to once a month. To others, once a quarter. Acts 20 and 7 tells us that the church met on the first day of the week to observe the feast. The devil has put into the minds of many that a weekly observance of the Lord's Supper makes it too commonplace. Does not taking the offering every week make it too commonplace? Does not praying each Sunday make it too commonplace? Does not preaching the sermon each week make it too commonplace? The lack of the weekly observance of the Lord's Supper may be a ploy of the devil to downplay the importance of the blood of Christ. Paul felt the need at this point to hold up the name of Jesus. Then again, in the Corinthian church, they were having the problem of one Christian taking another Christian brother before a pagan judge of law. What a spectacle that was for the world at that time. Again, Paul holds up the name that is above every name, the name of Jesus. They also had a problem of tongues. There were some Corinthian Christians going around making incoherent sounds and calling it speaking in tongues. And Paul would deal with that problem. And what a problem that is today. People mumbling and muttering and calling it a gift of the Holy Ghost. Paul held up before them a name that all could understand, the name of Jesus. He also had to deal with them that did not believe in the resurrection. He told them, "How say some among you, there is no resurrection of the dead? For if there is no resurrection of the dead, neither hath Christ been raised. And if Christ hath not been raised, then our preaching is vain, and your faith is vain. And they that have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If we have hoped in Christ in this life only, we of all men are most pitiable." The only answer that would be set before them was the name of the death-conquering Christ, Jesus Christ. And so Paul writes the church at Corinth and mentions the name of Jesus 10 times in 10 verses. He is holding up Jesus. He is saying, "Look at Jesus. Look at the Lord. Don't look at me. Don't look at the hypocrites. Look at Jesus. Look at him. Look at the one who died for you." Always hold up Jesus in the forefront. So we hold out Jesus to you. Whatever your problem may be, in the church or in the family, home or whatever, we hold out Jesus and we mention the name of Jesus even as Paul mentioned him to the Corinthian church. The song says, "Jesus, Jesus, Jesus." There is something about that name. Some of the times that Paul mentions Jesus are as follows. For one thing, he referred to his call to be an apostle. Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ, through the will of God and Sosthenes, our brother. Paul said he was called to be an apostle of Jesus. He indicated that he did not aspire to become an apostle. He did not ask to become one. He did not run for the office. He said he was called. In Galatians, he tells about that call when he says, "I made known unto you as touching the gospel which was preached by me, that it is not after man, for neither did I receive it from man, nor was I taught it, but it came to me through revelation of Jesus Christ." Jesus had made a personal appearance to Paul on the road to Damascus as a light shining out of heaven brighter than the midday sun. Paul was told that God had appointed him to see the righteous one and to hear a voice from his mouth, and that he was to be a witness of all things of what he had seen and heard and of the things wherein he would appear unto him. Several years ago, a lady told me her daughter had begun to speak in tongues and asked me what I thought about it. I told her it did not make any difference what I thought. But what did the apostle say about it? She quickly said, "I never did think Paul was all that he was cracked up to be." I said nothing else, because if Paul is not what he is cracked up to be, and if Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Peter, James, and Jude are not all they are cracked up to be, there is no authoritative message to guide us into eternity. If that be true, then God has left us in total ignorance about life after death. However, it is not true. God has left us a sure word of prophecy. Peter said, "The grass withereth, and the flower fadeth, but the Word of God abideth forever. Ladies and gentlemen, if I knew that the world would blow up and explode tomorrow, the safest place would be to put my Bible on the ground and stand on it. That would be the only safe place to stand, because Jesus said, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall never pass away." Someone has put it this way: last night, I passed by the blacksmith's door and heard the anvil beat the vesper chime. Looking in, I saw upon the floor old hammers worn by beating years of time. "How many anvils have you had," said I, "to wear and beat these hammers so?" "Just one," said he with twinkling eye. "The anvil wears the hammers out, you know." And so thought I, the anvil of God's word. For ages, skeptic blows have beat upon. Yet, though the noise of falling blows was heard, the anvil is unharmed, the hammers gone. Jesus, 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 there is something about that name. Then Paul also writes to the church at Corinth, and he tells them that they are called also, not like he was called, but we are called as Christians to be saints, with all that call upon the name of our Lord Jesus Christ in every place, their Lord and ours. He did not say that they were called to be candidates for sainthood. He said they were called to be saints. He was writing this epistle to real, live, flesh and blood saints. They were saints right now. They did not have to wait and die to be recognized as saints. Not only called to be saints in Corinth, but in every place. Ladies and gentlemen, as a Christian, you can be a saint anywhere. I am not the least bit embarrassed to tell you. I myself am a saint. If you should call me a saint, I assure you, I will not get red in the face, turn white around the gills, and deny it. It is completely foreign to the Word of God that a person has to wait until after he has died to be a saint. We are not saints because of anything that we did, but because of what Jesus did. He sanctified us when we became Christians. Paul said, we were sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints. I am a saint because Jesus made me one. And not only that, but he himself called me one. And that makes me a genuine, authentic saint of God. When Paul wrote to the Philippians, he addressed the epistle he wrote to them to the bishops, deacons, and saints. The church at that time was full of saints. Sometimes people say, "Well, I am no saint." Well, if you are no saint, you are no Christian. To say you are a Christian is to say that you are a saint. And to say that you are a saint is to say you are a Christian. For you have been sanctified and made holy. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. There is something about that name. Then he speaks also of calling on the name of the Lord. Paul holds before the people of Corinth the name of Christ when he referred to those who call upon the name of Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours. We called on the Lord, the name of the Lord Jesus, when we were saved. Someone wrote a letter one time and said, "I like to hear you recite Acts 2:38, but why don't you recite Acts 2:21 sometimes? That verse says, 'Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.' Well, we need to call on the Lord for salvation. Now, when Peter said, 'Call on the name of the Lord,' he preached the first gospel sermon, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. And the people called on the name of the Lord. They said, 'Men and brethren, what shall we do?' They were pricked in their hearts. Peter told them to do something in the name of the Lord, Jesus Christ. He is Lord. He told them, 'Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.' Even as Paul Saul of Tarsus was told, "Why tarriest thou? Arise, and be baptized, and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord." Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. There is something about that name. And then Paul holds forth the name of Jesus again when he refers to the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. He said, "I thank my God continually for you and for the grace given to you through Jesus Christ." Ladies and gentlemen, the grace of God is not cheap. Some think that Christ died for them and that their sins had absolutely nothing to do with it. My sins were not involved in the suffering of Christ on the cross. One news anchor, in interviewing a preacher, asked him, "What does being a homosexual have to do with being a Christian? In other words, Jesus died for me. What do my sins have to do with it?" Perhaps the answer to this enigma is that no one recognizes what sin is anymore. If there is such a thing as sin, I can come into the church and drag all of my sins in with me. The amazing grace of the Word of God is not the cheap, sentimental grace that many sing about. Grace means unmerited favor. We were saved not because we deserved it, but because Jesus Christ bestowed upon us forgiveness and His holiness. Not only was the grace extended to me when I became a Christian, but the grace of God has been extended to me every day since. His grace has been extended to you today in that you have been able to listen to this broadcast. His grace has been extended to you today in that your heart is still beating and you are still breathing and in that you are able to live and do His will. His grace is extended to you today in that you don't drop dead before the day is over. And don't forget the mercy of God. God's grace is unmerited favor, and God's mercy is grace in action. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. There is something about that name. Then he had something to say about the second coming of Christ as he held forth the name of Jesus. For he said, "Come behind in no gift, waiting for the revelation of Jesus Christ. He said they were to come behind in no gift. The church at Corinth was blessed with many of the miraculous gifts. While we do not work miracles today, we all have been given gifts. Our gifts are nothing unless we lay them at the feet of Jesus. When I see the news about the awards that actors, entertainers get for their excellence in performance, I often think what a horrible waste of a God-given ability, where they use all of that wonderful ability in service of self and the devil. I was at a church service one time when someone asked the preacher a question regarding the second coming of Christ. The preacher said, "Why would the Lord come back again? He's already been here one time. And what's more," he said, "if he did come again, how would we know who he was? They didn't recognize him the first time." Ladies and gentlemen, when Jesus comes again, it will be different. We will know him. Who else but Jesus will appear in the sky by millions of angels? Who else but Jesus would be announced by the sound of a trumpet that would awaken the dead? Jesus is coming, and Paul holds forth the name of Jesus and the hope of his revelation to the church at Corinth. It is good to think of the Lord's return every day as a benefit for the Christian life. Would you want the Lord to come and find you absent from the Lord's table at the communion hour? Would you want to have the Lord to come and find you reading or looking at a pornographic movie? I read of one preacher and his secretary who died while they were committing adultery, in the church basement. Their feet evidently kicked on a gas jet, and they were found dead. Think about that this week. It is true that we cannot stand on tiptoe and watch for the Lord's return all the time, but nevertheless, as you live and work for Him in the background of your mind, there is always that thought, this could be the day when Jesus will come again. I don't remember who it is, but someone writes often to us and always ends their letter with this statement, perhaps today, referring to the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. That was the thought that Paul was holding out to the church at Corinth that had so many problems. Perhaps today, Jesus, 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 there is something about that name. Then Paul holds forth the name of Jesus again as far as Judgment Day is concerned. He said that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord. Remember the warning of James, the judge standeth at the door. On another occasion, Paul tells us that God has appointed a day, and He will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom He hath ordained, wherefore He hath given assurance unto all the nations, and that He hath raised him from the dead. The day is appointed, and everybody will keep that appointment. Paul states the certainty of it for us when he declares, it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment. All other events of life will be preempted on that day when, stripped of all power, influence, money, bank accounts, American citizenship, you will stand naked before your God, and He will demand the answer to the question, why did you do it? Give an account of yourself. What did you do with the life that I give you to live on earth? Paul holds forth to the Corinthians the fact of the judgment day. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. There is something about that name. Finally, Paul speaks of fellowship. God is faithful, by whom ye were called into the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. God has called us unto fellowship with Jesus. We have fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. I am not exaggerating at all when I say, when you walk down the street as a Christian, Jesus Christ is as close to you as the person that is walking behind you and beside of you. Jesus Christ is just as near to you this hour as that person sitting next to you. Jesus Christ is just as close to you at this hour as that person that is in the same room with you. Jesus Christ is as close to you this hour as your hands and feet. I'm not exaggerating when I say He is able to go with me and stay with you. I'm not exaggerating when I say He's able to stay with me and go with you. The word fellowship includes several things. It includes the giving of money. Money can buy any amount of fellowship you want to have with the Lord. The famous widow who gave 2 mites bought an unbelievable amount of fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Her 2 mites have been drawing a high rate of interest for the last 2,000 years, and the interest will continue to accumulate until the trumpet sounds. You see, ladies and gentlemen, it is not how much you give, but how much you have left. What a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. What a peace is mine, what a blessedness, leaning on the everlasting arms. Oh, how sweet to walk in the pilgrim way, leaning on the everlasting arms. Oh, how bright the path grows from day to day, leaning on the everlasting arms. Ladies and gentlemen, God is faithful, who has called us into the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. There is something about that name.
Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to another God is Just a Prayer Away radio broadcast brought to you each week at the same time by Churches of Christ and Christian churches who are concerned about your soul's salvation. The address, Ed Bousman, Bousman, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio 45. 1-800-662-1142. Only as you reach back to us with your letters of support can we reach out to you with the gospel as it was preached in the days of the apostles. The address again, Ed Bousman, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio 45142. Check out our website, edbousman.org. Praise the Lord, pass the ammunition. Tell somebody, somehow and in some way, that God is just a prayer away.